Would you ask the blessing on this service today as we assemble in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord God, how you blessed us all through the year up to this present time. We come into the end of a year, Lord. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your love. And Lord, help us to strive to be more like you said in your word, Lord God. You tell our my son, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Lord, I know we're not perfect, Lord, but help us to strive to be more like you, Lord. Help us to follow you closely, Lord, not at a distance, Lord. We're living in the end time. You're coming soon, Lord. Thank you for your joy. The Lord is our strength. Your mercies are renewed every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord. Have your way today, Lord. Lord, meet every need that's present today, Lord. Help us to walk by faith and not by sight, Lord. God, deliver me, Lord God, from selfishness, Lord. God, help us, Lord God, to eat. You said prefer your brother, Lord. Help us to prefer one another, Lord, to love one another like you did. Thank you for victory in all things, Lord. Meet every need that's present in Jesus' name. For the glory of God, amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. How many are glad to be in the house of the Lord today? Amen. How many have a heart to worship Him? I want you to know it doesn't have to go up past the universe and that as we know it into some third heaven. He's here. He comes down to hear us when we pray. He comes down to be with us when we worship. The Bible said He inhabits the praises of His people. Amen. He doesn't want us to ever perceive Him as sitting high above us, aloof in His heaven, but coming down to receive our praises, coming down to listen when we pray. This is a God who wants to spend time with us, and He'd like us to spend some time with Him, too. Amen. In fellowship. And we're glad you made it today. Obviously, a lot of people didn't. I'd rather be here than the best hospital they've ever built. I went to visit you in a hospital just after it was built, not too long, the new St. Joseph's. Did you make it through? Oh, okay, just hallelujah. It wasn't just them, it was Him, right? Hallelujah. And it was an answer to prayer. It's a nice hospital. It's very nice. If I was going to be in a hospital, that would be a great hospital to be in. I was in a hospital in Plant City, and it was so old, when they moved to a new hospital, they just tore it down and turned it into a parking lot. The whole thing just bulldozed it down. But it was a, you know, it's okay hospital. But that one, that man, I thought about going over there just to study Scripture sometime. They had what they call a solarium part, where you can go and sit like a waiting area. And, you know, the sun comes through from these skylights, and they had real plants growing in there because you could get the light filtered through. It was a nice place to visit. I wouldn't want to live there. Can you say amen? God is so good. He has brought us through so much. Song Amazing Grace, you prayed, through many dangers, toils and snares, we have already come. 'Twas grace that brought us safe thus far, and that same grace will lead us home. Hallelujah. He didn't bring us this far to abandon us. He didn't bring us this far to not help us to get through. Amen. Help us to believe. Help us to trust Him. He's a God that helps us to trust Him. Amen. I had several messages today. Had to just throw them all out the window. Well, I didn't throw them out the window. I didn't have them in the car, but I had them in my mind. But the Lord has given me a message today that I pray will bless somebody, challenge all of us as it challenges me. We're going into a brand new year, and you're going to hear fearful things this coming year. You're going to hear bad news. Bad news is, it's going to get worse. Whatever it is, it's going to get worse. And it's because of people. It's not because of, you know, the environment or none of the. It's all because of people. Men shall become. The reason the dangerous times are here, men shall become lovers of their own self. Amen. self-love, and out of that grows all of the other things, the things that people do and are doing, the hatefulness, the hate, all of this stuff that's going on globally around the world. I live in Hillsborough County in Plant City. The county next to us is Polk County. Christmas Eve, Polk County, there's a man, 47 years old. He's watching football on television, or Christmas Day, one or the other. And his wife and his stepdaughter ask him to change the channel to something, you know, Christmassy, and that the family can enjoy together. So he shoots his wife dead, shoots his stepdaughter in the face. The bullet goes in, ricochets up, and out through the top of her head. She's in critical condition, but stable condition in the hospital. I don't know about how her face is going to get in the future. 12-year-old boy ran next door to call 911. He would have been killed if he hadn't left the house to call 911. This is not in Chicago or New York or L.A. This is Lakeland area. This is Polk County, Lakeland, Winter Haven, a lot of retirees. What makes somebody do stuff like that? Men shall become in the last days. What would trigger that? He runs. He drives away. He drives up to a home that his dad used to own that he had to abandon. He hides in a shed. They surround the shed, command him to come out. They hear a shot. He shoots himself between the eyes and kills himself. 47 years old, all over being asked to change the channel. What triggers that? If you think evil doesn't exist, psychologist, psychiatrist, they try to figure it out. Didn't you get the wagon you wanted when you were six? That doesn't make people do things like that. They think they can figure it out. But it's a spiritual problem, and they'll never figure it out unless we come back to the Bible and take it literally and find out what's going on. Evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So if you want to know what to expect it to get worse before it gets better. But the fact that it's getting worse tells us real soon it's going to get better. All these negative things, prophetically, it says when you see them, begin. Not when they come to their climax, when they're finished, completed. When you see these things begin to come to pass. Pull your head in like a tortoise or a turtle. Bury your head in the sand like an ostrich. Turn your home into a fortress. Don't go out because you may get killed. If you go out, don't sit on your front porch. Lady sitting on her front porch Christmas Day. Just sitting on her front porch. God got a gun for Christmas. This is not a kid. This is a grown man that got a gun for Christmas. I guess he's in his backyard trying out his gun. He must have missed the target. Stray bullet hit her, and she's shot, sitting on her porch, not in some drug-infested neighborhood or crime-riddled place. This is a crazy world. This is a dangerous world. But we have a good and gracious God. And what we're seeing today is an end-time sign being fulfilled. And because of the conditions, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking at the things which are coming upon the earth. So there's a scripture in Isaiah 41. And somebody might want to turn to that and maybe begin with verse 10. Have you got that on your electronic Bible? And it'll save time. I won't have to turn there. I won't have to go to my car and get my Bible either, and that'll save even more time. Isaiah 41. Let me come over here, because this is going to be part of the... In fact, let me come over. I want you to read that. I may ask you to read it again before we finish this message after worshiping Him.
Oh, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold all they... Is that it?
Go ahead.
Okay. Behold, all they that were increased against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them, and shalt not find them, even them that contend with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing, and as a thing of naught. For I am the Lord thy God, for I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel. I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I will make thee a new sharp threshing instrument, having teeth. Thou shalt thresh the mountains and beat them small, and shalt make the hills as chaff. Thou shalt fan them, and the wind shall carry them away.
I heard three fear nots in that one portion of Scripture. Man's done the homework. 360, that's one for each day of the year. In your Bible, there are 365 fear nots. 365 fear nots. Bible scholars tell us it's the most used word in one form or the other or phrase in the New Testament. Fear not, little flock. Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Praise God. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I'm holding you with you by my right hand, and I'm holding on to your right hand. And I will uphold you. Uphold you. Say it with me. Uphold you. We're going to worship in a few minutes, but I want to finish this message in a hurry, and we're going to worship at the end of the message, because the anointing has come strong today. Amen. And I don't want to lose the thought, and I don't want to lose your attention. Listen carefully. Are you a clickbait Christian? You know what clickbait means? You ever been on YouTube? You ever seen a headline anywhere that is so outrageous, so fear-riddled, so staggering in the presentation of it that it makes you stop and want to see what it's all about? They want you to click on it. They're trying to get a bunch of clicks on it. Amen. There's a song by Johnny Cash. You probably think Johnny Cash is what you put in a jar and stick it in the back of the commode so your wife can't find it. You didn't know you could do that, did you? She found it because you didn't put it in a jar, close the lid, and stick it in the back of the toilet where she would never, ever look. Amen. Kitty Wells is not where kittens go to drink. She's a country music singer from my day. I'm not really, you know, I wasn't really into country music. I was into heavy metal, hard rock, acid rock, all the rock. Amen. But I know something about country music. Hallelujah. So anyway, clickbait. People come to me and say, Pastor, have you heard? And I just want to cringe. Christians that... Wouldn't take the time to come to a Bible study. Will take the time to get on the internet and go into every clickbait. I had a pastor's daughter call me because he could not convince her of her salvation enough that she could rest in the Lord in the full assurance that she was saved. So he asked me, here's her number. Could you call her and speak with her? And when I called her up, I said, what has brought, did you get saved? Do you know that you have come to Christ, confessed your sins, repented of your sin? Yes, I did that. And it wasn't as a child. This was as a mature, understanding young woman. But she went on YouTube, and I thought, this is not a good place to get your theology. There's some good guys on there. I'm on there for 30 seconds. But the theology's good for 30 seconds because it's the word of the Lord. It's not my word. It's not my prediction. I mean, it's crazy. I was on there a few months ago, and I thought, I know what clickbait is. I don't take time to fool with it. But since people are telling me about this prophet and that prophet, and there's a prophet on the West Coast that's saying, you need to get off of the East Coast because something terrible is coming. If you're on the West Coast, you need to move out immediately. And then there's a prophet on the East Coast that's saying, you need to get out of the East Coast because something bad is coming there. And people want me to get all upset and pack up. Where do I move? To the middle. I'll get to the middle. In fact, I'd like to move out west, not L.A. West, but I'm talking about in the Middle West. Where the cowboys. In fact, there's a place where never is hurt. In fact, it's out on the range somewhere. Amen. Arizona, maybe? I don't know. Montana? Where would you think the range is, where they rode the range? I used to listen to a radio station, Brother Taylor. Amen. And it was a black radio station, but it had rhythm and blues. And that's before I got into rock and roll, I was into rhythm and blues. Amen. And they had a DJ on there. And he was good. He made me smile every single day. He said, I'm always walking on my heels, so you know I got a lot of soul. He would say things like, get off the stove, Grandma. You're too old to be riding the range. Well, there's this home on the range in the song. Why are people, you know, clickbait Christians have no joy. None. Because they're listening to every Tom, Dick, and Harry, and whatever other name or title that they have. And they're reacting to fear. They don't react to faith after a while. Only fear brings a reaction. Faith doesn't move them to believe God enough to receive a peace that will keep them through fearful times. Clickbait grabs them. Had a lady come to me and said, all the prophets are saying this. And I just stood amazed, and I thought, listen, have you read your Bible lately? Have you picked it up lately? It says all these things are happening, but the end is not yet. These are the beginning of the end, the beginning of sorrows. The end is not yet. And she said, my husband thinks I'm crazy because of her reaction to the clickbait and to the false prophets. How do you know they're false prophets? Because the West Coast is still there. Do you know the West Coast is still there? I know you don't want to hear it this morning. You'd rather hear them, but you're here today. So, too bad. You really messed up. Amen. People would rather hear a false prophet bring them into fear then someone point them to the Bible to give them some faith. And since we don't have any faith, but we're responding to fear, all the peace is gone. All of the joy is gone. We're anticipating the worst. And it is going to get worse. But what did God say to us? Fear not. Fear not. Fear not. I am with thee. No matter what occurs, no matter what happens, no matter how bad it gets, don't be afraid. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Fear not, I am not only upholding you, I am holding your right hand. Does that make a difference in fearful times? And I get quiet, and I don't run like Chicken Little and say the sky is falling. An acorn, you ever Chicken Little? It's for primary kids, the little book. You know what Chicken Little did? Chicken Little is walking around minding her own business, and an acorn falls out of a tree and strikes her on the head. And how does Chicken Little react? Does anybody know? What does she say? Oh, you remember way back then? That's a long time back, sister. Amen. What's Chicken Little say? You don't even know. Get her to read you Chicken Little. Hey, this is a spoiler. I'm going to give you a spoiler today. Does anybody over here know what Chicken Little said? Boy, I'm telling you. Michael don't even know. He's looking it up on the Bible. He said, it's not in the Bible. It's just not in the Bible. No, it's in a primary school book, Chicken Little. She's a little chicken. That's not a, you know, figure that much out. Acorn falls on her head. What's she run doing? Sky is falling. The sky is falling. That's a clickbait chicken. Clickbait. How quickly we receive the bad news. How hard it is then for us to receive, react, and respond to the good news. Everybody looking for a prophet instead of a teacher. To teach them the word of God so that you can figure out when a false prophet is prophesying falsely. And one of the things you need to figure out is when it doesn't come to pass, it's false. That makes sense to you? When it doesn't happen, and if it hasn't happened, then you need to switch the channel. You need to get a hold of something that is going to happen, because it's not predicted, it is prophesied, and it is not through a person who has this hotline to heaven. It's through the inerrant, eternal word of the living God. It's going to come down like he said it's going to come down. And the sky isn't falling. But somebody got an acorn on the head. Israel did that. They sent spies into the land. God said, go over and take the land. Sent spies to see if they could, what their obstacles would be. They come back and said, there's cities over there. You ready for the clickbait? We got three people ready. You ready for the clickbait? You ready? We saw cities. Here it is. Walls were so tall, they were walled up to heaven. Were they that tall? They were tall. They were impregnable to any earthly army. But they were not that tall. The devil will always exaggerate the negative, instead of, he'll never accentuate the positive. And we got to talk about the negative. We don't want to be out of touch with reality. Amen. But listen, don't gravitate toward the negative. You know what they didn't equate into? It doesn't matter if it's walled up to heaven or not. God is going to give us. This is promised land. He promised it. He told us the area of that promise that we could claim the Euphrates River and this and that, that set the perimeters for it. And he said, go over and possess the land. And when there was one tribe that hesitated to go possess it, he came and said, how long will you be slack to go over and possess the land that the Lord thy God has given you? If you have no faith to take the land, you'll accuse God of not keeping his promises. The devil will not only have you not receiving his promises, you'll end up accusing him of unfaithfulness. And now you've got a double negative going on in your heart and in your life. If I couldn't receive a promise, I would be dead and buried already. If I listened to every clickbait false prophet, I would be filled with fear and trepidation. Faith doesn't come that way. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord, not a word from the Lord through someone who claims to be a vehicle for that, but the word of God itself. Heaven and earth will pass away. My word will abide forever. That's why I love the scripture. More clickbait. What else did you see over there? We saw walled cities. Did you know one of those cities was called Jericho? And when Joshua went over and saw that city, God told him something. He looked at those walls. They were not that tall, but they were impregnable in the natural. And you know what God told him? He said, "See, Joshua, see, I have, not I will, but I have given you Jericho. I've given you all the inhabitants in there. It is yours," in other words, for the taking, but you've got to take it to get it. And you've got to take it by faith. And if you keep fooling around on clickbait, you're going to find out you have no faith to take anything. And you will be beat down and beleaguered, disillusioned with God and discouraged. And you will be a Christian that doesn't represent what you're trying to tell others that they need. You tell them that Christ can take care of them. Jesus is what you need. If you get Jesus, He'll fill you up like you showed them. But you got to represent. You got to represent. I represent a great God today. I represent a good God today. I represent a faithful God today. I'm pushing 80 hard. And the devil's tried to take me out since I was a baby in the womb. My daddy went into a hospital in Middlesboro, Kentucky. When the doctor told him, we can take the baby. The baby can be born stillborn. Or we can try to save the baby, but it might put your wife in some jeopardy. The way I was turned in the womb. And my dad went in the bathroom in a hospital in Middlesboro, Kentucky, and you've been to Middlesboro, Kentucky. And he said, "Lord," with tears, "if you'll let my wife be okay and this child be okay, I'll give this child to you right now. Boy or girl, this child I offer to you." God took him up on it. And I am the child. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And from that day to this, the devil has never failed to try to destroy me, or at least destroy my relevance, my message, my influence, my impact. But I found something out. People would rather hear a clickbait message that fills them with fear than to hear a truth that could set them free, give them faith, bring them peace, and let them represent the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. The way it should be represented. The world don't need no more worry. The world don't need no more fear. The world don't need no more anxiety. The world don't need any more discouragement. They need some hope. They need some help. And we've got the hope because we know the helper. Can you say amen? But if he can't help you, don't expect them to get too excited about the God that you serve. Amen? I said if he can't help you, don't expect them to get too excited about the God whom you serve. These are people that have been in church for years that have come up to me. "Pastor Venable, have you heard what the prophets are saying?" You know, I quit listening when I hear the word, "What all the prophets, seriously? All the prophets, all of them." You know why I don't pay attention to that? because I know what's coming. You know how they keep people clicking? God has shown me. It'll start this. God has told me. I hadn't told anybody else, but He told me. Let me tell you something about Scripture. No prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. Amen? That means there's no individual, me, you, or whoever you listen to, that has a hotline to heaven and only they get the message. If God wants to get a message out, He would allow a lot of people that He can talk to and lead rather than just one person who has it, because they don't want you listening to nobody else. And whatever you do, don't listen to just an everyday vanilla, not because I'm white, by the way, just because I'm plain. Amen. A plain old vanilla pastor? No, you got to have a title to have any relevance. You got to be a prophet. You got to be a prophetess. You got to be a bishop. You got to be an archbishop. Come on, you got to be an archbishop. They just caught a bishop in Tampa last year. A bishop in a church. I guess that's higher than plain old vanilla pastor. Amen. But I'm just a plain old vanilla pastor. But I know the Bible. I'm teaching you the Bible. It has worked for me for 79 years. I got healed of cancer because of the word is true in the Bible. Can you say amen? God delivered me from a stroke because He answers prayer, because the word is true in the Bible. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Heaven will pass away. Earth will pass away. What's going to stand? My word. People would rather click on the internet and spend time listening to a false prophet than they would to spend time in a Bible study. You ask questions. Holy Ghost in us got excited when you started asking questions. You know why? Because He is the Spirit of truth. He don't just give liver shivers on Sunday morning. He don't just manifest the charismata, the gifts of the Spirit. He doesn't just manifest tongues. When He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. Can you say amen? And how does He do it? John 8, 30 and 31. If you continue in My word, you will know the truth. Not just intellectually, but experientially. Can you say amen? And the truth will do what? Make you free. And one of the great liberations that will occur, He will set you free from fear. Yes, then you're a real deal disciple of Mine, if you continue in My word. That old boring Bible study. I remember when I'm Pentecostal background, I remember when Pentecostals would have walked out on Jesus. They would not have sat to hear the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes. You know why? Because the Bible said that Jesus did something extraordinary for a Spirit-filled man. He was more than a Spirit-filled man. He was God incarnate. The Bible said He sat down and taught them there. He sat down. You know why so many charismatics, and we get crazy because we don't sit down to hear and heed the Word of God. We want somebody to prophesy over us. The line to get hands laid on us to get prophesied over is always going to be longer than the line waiting for a Bible study. Amen? And we're easily deceived because the foundation is not the word of the Lord, but simply a word from the Lord. And we're wide open for a false prophet. I was told by a false prophetess, her own declaration, that I was not supposed to pastor. I was supposed to go to the nations of the world. Well, my ego says, yeah, that's where I belong. I'm too good to just feed a few sheep. I'm supposed to be an international phenom. I'm supposed to be a missionary to the nations of the world. Yes, I agree with that. Wouldn't it be something if I left the Holy Church of God 53 years ago and endeavored to start going to everywhere that I could find, I could go to? I had a missionary come to our church from India. He said, you must come to India. And I thought, really? Yeah, you come to India. I said, well, I'm nobody big. I have no, television ministry or anything. He said, oh, it does not matter. He said, you know Jesus. He said, tell them about Jesus and they'll come to hear it. And I thought, boy, I can't wait to preach in India. Let me tell you what the Apostle Paul did. He essayed to go to Bithynia. He prepared. He got ready. And the Holy Ghost forbid him. Said, nope, you can't go there. It's not there. He got ready to go to Asia.
And the Lord forbid him.
You can't go there. He's got a mandate from God to go into all the world. This is part of the world. They need Jesus. Holy Ghost said, the timing isn't right. It's not now. Maybe someday, but not here. Not now. And he had enough good sense and God sense to wait upon the Lord for specific direction. I had people prophesy over my wife and I that we were called to go to Jamaica as missionaries. I went to Jamaica. My wife went with my pastor's wife to Jamaica. And we prepared to have a gigantic, ginormous yard sale. Well, it wouldn't have been that big because we didn't own much. We were going to sell everything we had and head for Jamaica. If I had done that, it would have been big flop. It would have been big old mess. God didn't call me to go to Jamaica as a missionary. He called me to go to Sulphur Springs, Florida. Oh, my goodness. That's beneath me. I need to go to one of these places as a mighty mission. Oh, yeah, there's mighty missionaries called to these places. But I wasn't the mighty missionary called. You know where I was called to? Sulphur Springs, Florida. 920 East Sitka Street. Phone number was 813-933-5130. 53 years ago. Dial it now, you won't get a prayer. I don't know who in the world you'll get. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. God sent me to Tampa. And I know it was God because I didn't want to go. It wasn't my plan. I walked in with my wife to a church. Sister Pearl White was the pastor of the Holy Church of God Incorporated and the founder. We were in there for two services. I enjoyed it. She's a good preacher. Amen. Mostly women in the church. Hardly any men. Okay, that's all right. We're okay. We're receiving. And I thought, well, she might ask me to come speak or something. If it's the Lord's will. Looking for open doors. Looking for God's will. She came back to my wife and I. And she said, God showed me. And we had a child at that time. Said, God showed me that a man and his wife and a young child would come and take over this church as pastor. And I thought to myself, well, when he shows up, amen, then I'm sure that God will confirm it to him. I thought that in my heart. And she said, I believe it's you. And I thought, no. My uncle was a pastor. And the last thing I wanted to do is have to stay with those sheep. You should see it from up here sometime. Amen. It ain't pretty. Amen. It's not pretty. I mean, if I want to see sad faces, I'll go preach in the jail. I'm not talking about you guys. I'm just talking about pastor's perspective. I'm not the only one. Vance Havner, great pastor, preacher, author. He said of his congregation, I've seen happier faces on iodine bottles. You're not old enough. What is it to warn you about taking too much of that iodine that's meant for putting on a wound to sanitize it? Skull and crossbone. Another pastor, it's a pastor's joke going around. He said, my church is going to be the first in the rapture before anybody else's church. Boy, some other pastors at a pastor's meeting said, boy, what an ego he's got. Boy, the pride, the arrogance, the unmitigated gall to make a statement like that. And they cornered him and said, listen, are you falling into pride? What basis do you have, biblically or otherwise, to say your church is going to be the first in the rapture? He said, I got Bible for it. In other words, I got receipts. That's what they say now. I've got something to back it up. The scripture says the dead in Christ shall rise first. You know something? It takes one. Now, I'm not getting into too much biology, but they tell me it takes four or five muscles to smile. It takes 144 to frown. And I always tell people, give your face a rest and turn your frown upside down and represent the kingdom of God. Which is, it's not for flesh and blood. It's not meat for flesh and blood. It's righteousness. It's peace. Say it with me, peace. You almost have to smile to say peace. And it is something else that represents this great, gracious kingdom. Does you know what the third? It's righteousness, bringing peace with God, allowing for the peace of God, and then it allows a fellowship relationship with God. It's joy in the Holy Ghost. Everybody say joy in the Holy Ghost. Whom having not seen, you love. You love. Here's the love. I love you, Lord. I really do. I love you with all my heart, soul, mind, body, and strength. I love you, Lord. There. That's it. I'm representing. No, you're not. Whom having not seen, you love. With joy unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. Joy unspeakable. What? Yeah, I asked some pastor asked me, I quoted that among some pastors having breakfast together. They said, pastor, what does that look like? Have you ever seen it? Have you ever seen it? Other Christians? Overflowing joy? Brother Bimber, you don't know what I've been through. God said it don't matter what you're going through. I'm in the fire with you. Don't be afraid. Fear not, fear not, fear not. Get off the clickbait. What did you see over there? There are cities walled up to heaven. Oh, the land's like God said it was. There's grapes over there. The boughs of grapes are so full. It took two people to carry them. They even brought back some. They tasted what it would be like to live in the promised land. But they, out of fear, failed to go possess the promised land. And they lived as if God had never gave them a promise or a provision. Because they listened to a clickbait, faithless report. You know what scripture says in Isaiah 53? Who had believed our report? The moment we believe his report, who to whom is the what? The arm of the Lord revealed. when God rolls up his sleeves and said, if you believe it, I'm going to make sure you receive it. Can you say amen? Who hath believed our report? Whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing, thou shalt receive. Glory to God. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And they saw something else. And besides all of that, there's fierce armies. I mean, these are bad guys. Do you know what was happening on the other side? Do you know what the fierce armies were trembling as they approached their borders? You know what the scripture said? They were saying, if they come over here, they've got a history. They've got a history. If they bring that ark and they come over here and that ark precedes them, they've got a history of victory in every battle. They've got a God you can't see, but you can see what he does when anybody tries to mess with them. Oh, I hope they don't come over here. Can you say amen? The devil is trembling and God's people are exaggerating. Clickbait. Can't take that city. It's walled up to heaven. Did Jericho fall? Did it fall because it wasn't walled up to heaven? No, it fell because by faith they obeyed God and walked around it. And on the seventh time around, they were told to shout. Why? Because God has given you the city. And there was no crack in the wall at that point. There was nothing to indicate that anything was being done to grant that. How we, listen, but by faith, they shouted. And the Bible, I looked up that word shout in the Hebrew, and it meant to give an ear-piercing sound. I did that as to speak at a Baptist church. They put one of those, and I love them, by the way. If we could get one that we could pick me up on. I love that goes over the ear, and a little thing comes over near your mouth, and my hands are free. Can you imagine if my hands were free too? Can you say, man, I was having a good time. The anointing came halfway through that message, and joy unspeakable just rose up on the inside of me. And I can hold this out if I think about it, which I rarely do, but this was right here at my mouth, and there's a sound man up there with earphones on that is adjusting me, and he wasn't ready. He had never heard anything like this in that particular Baptist church. Can you say, man, I'm preaching away, and all of a sudden I go, woo! And I saw, I was already focused up that way, and I saw him go, that had never happened. Probably never going to happen again because they never asked me back. But I had the joy of the Lord. I couldn't contain it, brother. I couldn't contain it. I was overwhelmed by it. It's called joy unspeakable. Full of glory. Hallelujah. Wow. When we're used to a monotone Bible study. Jesus said this, and John said that, and Jacob said this, and, you know, have a good day. Don't forget to pray for all the world and America and everybody in it. Okay, now let's see, go eat. Can you eat meat, eat, and retreat? So, 10 o'clock at night, I'm on the phone with a weeping young woman because she said there was this man that we listened to. He's a Baptist preacher. He said Jesus told him that 98% had the exact percentage of all Christians are going to be lost. They think they're saved, but they're not. And she, her daddy couldn't convince her. I took her to the book of Revelation. John is being escorted. He saw a group of people coming out of every kindred, tongue, and people. And the Bible said there were so many of them, no man could possibly number. That's not an exaggeration. That meant he couldn't in any way give an estimate in the thousands or tens of thousands that are saved, sealed by the Holy Ghost, safe from the wrath to come. And he had a question, who are these? Who are these? And he said, thou knowest. He said, yeah, I do know who they are. And I'm going to tell you who they are. These are they who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Do you realize what happened when you repented of your sin and came to Jesus as your Savior? The Bible said you were such a sinner and listed all the possible and worse sins than you probably did, or I probably did. There's a whole list of real heinous, bad, ugly, dirty, filthy, rotten sins, and such were some of you. But you are washed. Oh, somebody give me some amen today that's worth something. You are washed. You are sanctified, and you are justified. You can't get any cleaner than the blood has washed you. Oh, you can't get any more set apart unto God and cleansed and sanctified than the blood has sanctified you. Can you say amen? You can't get justified by nothing but the blood of Jesus. And once I convinced her that there's not 98% law. Listen, and you know how why they came? Because 100, they came from every corner of the earth and every culture. 144,000 Jewish evangelists that have accepted Christ as their Messiah preach the Gospels to the four corners of the earth. And so many people. You mean God was still saving people? You better believe. Jesus said, that's my mission. That's why I died on the cross. I didn't come in this world to condemn it, but to seek and to save the lost. And he's still doing it today. Hallelujah. And before we got through, amen, I didn't follow up because I didn't want to pry. But it's kind of embarrassing when the pastor can't convince his daughter. Anyway, moving right along. Hallelujah. I'm so sick and tired of trying to get some faith into clickbait Christians that will exaggerate the negative, would rather go hear a false prophet prophesy gloom and doom than to hear the everyday preacher preach faith so that you can get saved, get healed, get delivered, and get set free from fear. Change your life if you let it. Or you can sit on the other side of Jordan and do without while everybody else goes over and eats those grapes and reaps those harvests. And you're sitting over there because you believed the evil report. What made it evil? Because there was no faith in it. They never mentioned God. They just saw the obstacle. And besides all of that, walled cities to heaven, everybody say exaggeration. Fierce armies, oh yeah, but were they already dispirited and disheartened? Yep. Bible said they were afraid they would come over that river. What if they come here? Because they have a God who gives them victory when they act on His Word. Can you say amen? Click. You want to go back on YouTube and get your theology? You want to get a hold of a prophet that's going to keep you upset? Or you want to get into a truth that'll set you free? You better get in a Bible study. You better get somewhere where the Bible is quoted, amen, verbatim, as it is written. Don't look for somebody to give you a word from the Lord. Look for somebody to give you the word of the Lord. Can you say amen? Now, if God gives me a word to give you, I'll give it to you. But I'll tell you, I'll give it to you this way. I will say, I believe the Lord is telling me this. I won't say the Lord showed me. You better accept it because I'm that person who God speaks that to and through. So, What does joy unspeakable, full of glory, look like? What does it look like? It's time for the mirror test. What does it look like? What do you think joy unspeakable and full of glory looks like? Does it look like me? I hope so. Does it look like you? Can you represent that kingdom and that king whom, having not seen, you love with joy unspeakable and full of glory? No wonder they had an impact on their generation. They said, we don't have that. There's nothing. Nothing in the world can give us what they've got. But they've got a hold of something. Hallelujah. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. And boy, when people eat and drink, they don't look sad. Amen. Amen. I'm serious. They don't look sad. Feasting, drinking, partying. If we can't be different from the world in that respect, we can't represent. The kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but it's righteousness. It means you being made right with God. You can claim the promise of God. Hallelujah. I want you to read that one more time just before we close. What happened to that walled city? Two men came back with a different report. They said, yep, we're not going to contradict them about this city is an impregnable city in the natural. It's not walled up to heaven, but nobody's ever been able to conquer it. And yeah, they're right. That army is fierce. There's no doubt there's an army over there, and these guys are all look like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Amen? And there are giants in the land on top of that. The sons of Anak, who was a giant. The giants are there. Oh, while we're talking about those giants and fierce armies, once you get into clickbait fear, you know what they said? And there's a revelation coming here. I want you to get it. Don't miss it. There are giants in the land, and we were as grasshoppers in their sight. What? Now, if you've got an army going over to take that land, grasshopper army is not what you need, that they can just squash under their feet. We were laughing coming in, because there's a sign upon the door that said, no firearms allowed. Oh. Didn't we? We were laughing like ho-ho. We were laughing like Santa. Do you really believe there's nobody in here that'll ever come in and have a firearm? Bad guys are going to come in with AR-15s. They're going to stop at the sign. I was going to go in there and kill everybody. But it's not allowed. I can't take my AR-15 in. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I carried it all the way down here to shoot up the place. But his sign says it's not allowed. As if. You better get your shield of faith out. And your 44. Amen. God is good today. God is good today. It's not like they're telling it. When are we going to quit scurrying and running and pulling our head in? Hallelujah. When God says to us, do not fear. I am for thee. I am with thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness, and I will hold thee by thy right hand, and I'll make you the sharp threshing instrument in my hand. Hallelujah. Amen. So two men came back. And what did they say? Who were those two guys? Joshua and Caleb. Joshua and Caleb saw the same thing, but they put God in the equation, His promise in the equation. And they said, we're not going to refute anything they're saying, though it's exaggerated, it's really bad. What was their report? Let's go up at once and possess it. Let's don't be tentative. Let's don't hold back. Let's get over there and get it, because God's for us. God's with us. And who did Israel listen to? The good report of faith in God? The history of help and faithfulness? They listened to the evil report. Clickbait, fear-driven. And they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. So this is the covenant people. This is the great God of Israel. Look at them. They're over there. And you know, God's grace is so wonderful. They couldn't represent Him, but He was still good to them. They wandered around for 40 years, and their shoes never wore out. Hallelujah. Isn't that's something to me. My shoes wear out pretty quick. I do a lot of walking and running, and not running, jogging, don't get me wrong. Amen. But running around and taking care of people. When I see Christians coming to me and say, did you hear what the prophets are saying? I say, no, but I know what the Word of God is saying. I haven't heard them, but I have definitely heard Him. Can you say amen? I fully expect to have my prayer answered. I fully expect God to take care of me no matter what happens on the East Coast or the West Coast or out there on the range somewhere. I fully expect God to keep His promise to uphold me with His right hand and to hold to my right hand. I fully expect my God to come through. Glory be to God. How about your God? How about your God? How about your God today? If you get a pain in your neck, pain in your belly, go online. Go online. My son, Daddy, and he finally got so fed up because, you know, they told him he had cancer. They told him he had a tumor. They told him he had 6 weeks to live if he has this on his hand. They told him this and they told him that. It took him here and it took him there. It clickbait, 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 and somebody's on there. He doesn't have receipts. He hasn't examined you. Amen. You haven't had a CT scan, but he's already diagnosing you with something that's going to devastate you and shorten your life. And I'm trying to deprogram him because now he's scared stiff. He said, but Dad, they say. I said, they who? Who are they? And I have to spend an hour and a half trying to get him. And finally, he turned it around himself. He said, Daddy, he quit eating so many different things. He lost down to 120-something pounds. And I said, son, have you ever got online and see what a lack of protein is going to do for your body? Well, if you eat that, it might give you this. If you eat that, my grandma, your great-grandma, how old was she when she died? She ate, I'm not telling you to not use wisdom, but she ate everything they said don't eat. You know how old she was when she died? 105. My daddy, he didn't drink water. She didn't drink water. She drank Pepsi. That'll eat you alive inside. Turn your innards into jelly. Yeah, I imagine it might if you just drink it. She drank it. But if you get fear a hold of you, you ain't going to live long, because stress is going to cause you to have your body begin to shut down, and you, stress will bring every symptom of every kind of disease and heart problem that there is. I may have an aneurysm tomorrow. There may be a bulging vein up here in my head that I get preaching real good and it pops. Do you think I'm going to quit preaching because it may pop? No, it may pop. You can sit there like a knot on the log, and yours might pop with no reason for it except it's weakened. I'll tell you, fear gets a hold of you. The Bible said, he that feareth, fear hath torment. The Greek word is penal imprisonment. Not only does it put you in a prison, it punishes you. You don't get a college education and come out buff because you lifted weights. Amen. It torments you. You're on the chain gang, brother, sister. You're out in the 98-degree sun, and you're using a sickle to cut grass down in a ditch, and the sweat's pouring off of you because you're in prison. Fear hath torment. He that feareth, that means lives in it, thrives on it, is not perfected in love. For perfect love cast. Oh, it's not a demon. It's not a spirit of fear. God didn't give us the spirit of fear. No, it's your spirit, darling. It's not a spirit from hell. It's your tainted spirit that is taking in all the bad at the expense of all the good. You don't need deliverance from a spirit of fear. It had to get your spirit. You know, if we cast the spirit of fear out, it'd be your spirit and you'd be dead. Isn't that right? Oh, you know what we'd rather do? We'd rather go to some deliverance service to get rid of fear instead of get in the Bible and get some faith. Hallelujah. We'd rather have hands laid on us to get us out of fear than to get in the Word of God and get some faith. Where's faith come from? Hearing. Where do we hear and what do we hear? When do we hear the Word of God? When we read it. When we're taught it, when we hear it preached under an anointing, praise God. But I see Christians wringing their hands instead of raising their hands. Wringing their hands. Pastor Venable, all the prophets are saying. And I thought, stop. Man came to pastor as we close, get ready to sing a couple of songs and go home. He come in, his own spirit filled with fear. He said, Pastor, I know it's the devil, but he's telling me I'm not saved, number one. I know it's the devil, but he's telling me that I'm not going to live much longer. Has a doctor said anything? Have you been diagnosed with something? No, but I know it's the devil. He's just telling me that, but that's what he's telling me. Have you got a word for me? He said, yes, I do. Quit listening to the devil. Amen. Is that a good word today? Amen. Quit. Stop. Achtung. Is that your German or not? We don't know. I know spit flu. I don't know if that's supposed to happen. You know, some of you would lighten up. You might represent a kingdom that this world is hungry to get into. Because the kingdom therein is a kingdom of darkness and hopelessness, helplessness. Hallelujah. But if you get a hold of something and let it get a hold of you, if you get a relationship with God that's based on faith and not fear, and you get a relationship with Christ, a fellowship relationship, whom having not seen you love with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. We used to sing it, didn't we? Are you ready for a closing song before we get the good ones? Amen. I wish I had the whole song here. I wouldn't sing it, but I'd quote it. Hallelujah. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. And the half has never yet been told. Why? Because it's unspeakable. Because the riches of Christ, are you ready for this? Are unsearchable. You can plumb the depths and never find the bottom. You can plumb the height and never find the top. Amen. The love of God is so encompassing and infinite. The Bible said, I pray for you and for all saints that you might come to know and comprehend and apprehend the length, the breadth, the depth, and the height. Hallelujah. And be filled with the love of God. But as long as we are just clickbait Christians, we will gravitate to the fear at the expense of our faith. So my son came in. He got so tired of fear and me having to try to deprogram him like I do many Sunday mornings to clickbait saints. Not y'all. The word goes out from here. False prophets get most people, but every now and then somebody will pause and want to get some faith in their life. Every now and then somebody says, I'm sick and tired of all of this stinking mess. I want to hear something from the Spirit of God. And when He's able to get through to you, He will give you the Word of God and faith will come. And when faith comes, fear has to pack up and fear has to go. Latin word for fear. I want you to get this as we close. The Latin word for fear was a word that was used by shepherds in fields. When a wolf doesn't bleed out a sheep. A wolf doesn't just bite them and bleed them out. He grabs them by the throat and strangles them to death. He doesn't have to tear their throat open and bleed them. He crushes the larynx and they strangle to death. Can I tell you what fear is doing to you? Fear is strangling your peace to death. A kingdom that is not meat, drink, but it's righteousness, peace. And the peace is strangled. How can you possibly represent God's kingdom with no peace? It is joy in the Holy Ghost. How can we represent God's kingdom when all we're doing is listening to the bad news? The sky is falling. The sky is falling. No, it's not. An acorn hit your noggin. And you're exaggerating. A little sparrow listened, Chicken Little. Lay it in the middle of a road. With their feet up like that. A guy comes by in a cart, walks over to the sparrow, and says, what are you doing? Says, haven't you heard? The sky is falling. He says, little sparrow, do you think you can stop it from falling by holding up your little feet? You know what the sparrow says? One does what one can. One does what one can. Do you think, little sparrow, that by worrying yourself sick, you can stop some terrible thing from happening? You really think? You need to get some faith in there. I was worried one night about something. I grabbed a hold of the Word of God and it grabbed a hold of me. I'll tell you, if you take hold of it, it'll grab a hold of you. And it didn't strangle nothing out. It bolstered something up in me. Hallelujah. Missionary. Almost done. Missionary. had to take a path in the jungle to get to a village. Darkness came on him. He got lost out in the jungle with all of these predators and things. He took out a sleeping bag and zipped it up. And every time he heard a twig, every time he heard a breeze blow the foliage, fear would grab him. Could be a lion, tiger, lions and tigers and bears, lions and tigers and bears. How did he cope with that? He said, Lord, I remember what it said in your word. Faith comes by hearing. Hallelujah. He that keeps Israel never slumbers nor sleeps. God is on the job, taking care of his people, keeping his promises to 1,000 generations, keeping covenant. He said, a peace, when I grabbed a hold of that, it grabbed a hold of me. And a peace came over me. Hallelujah. He said, well, Lord, since you're going to be up all night, I'm going to get some sleep. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, friend, I went through nervous exhaustion. Fear had me by the throat. It almost killed me. Amen. And I'm very careful about how I hear and what I hear and who I listen to. I am highly selective in who I allow to have an influence over me. How about you? Somebody in this room has been letting clickbait pull you away from the joy and the peace of your salvation. And you're talking about a salvation and a kingdom that you cannot represent. And if you can't represent it, the world is going to figure it out. Because they're reading us. Let me tell you something about you and me. We are living epistles, living letters, written and read by all men. I went into the prison system to preach. And you know what they told me when I went in? I'd never preached in the prison system before. I said, any advice you need to give me? I prayed I'd be led of the Holy Spirit. They gave me some good sound wisdom. Be real. Be yourself. Because you can't con a con. They'll read you. They'll reject you. They'll figure you out. I went in. First thing they said, preacher, what do you think about being in here? When the door's closed, the radios are blaring, all the cursing and all the atmosphere of people frustrated and agitated. Had a fight the first day and blood all over the floor. They had to come in and mop it up. There was so much of it. Guard said, you want to just call it off now? I said, no, sir. No, sir. We had 32 people raise their hand to receive Christ. We stayed the extra 15 minutes in the Bible study. They said, what do you think about it? Well, what do you think about being in here? I said, I hate it. When I walk in and that those cells click shut, I want out. I don't like this atmosphere. But let me tell you something, why I'm here. Because I know you're questioning my motive. Why would you bother coming here? I say, because my master, the Lord Jesus Christ, if he could spend 1 hour in the city of Tampa, would he go, according to the Bible, the man that is represented in Scripture, would he go to the biggest church in town and speak for them? Or would he come here and speak to you? Since he said, the well don't need a physician. Can you say, man, I came to seek and to save the lost. I said, it's because He would spend this hour with you, because He is the lover of your soul, and He cares about where you spend eternity. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. He would come here, and that's why I am here. Hallelujah. Brother Venable, don't you know that was just jailhouse religion trying to get probation to say, I can't, that was my come to Jesus moment. Yes, some of them, I'm sure. But some of them really got saved. One man came up, he was in the back. I preached on the Beatitudes, blessed are the meek. He raised his hand. He said, if I was meek in here, I wouldn't last a night. I said, it's not that kind of meekness. I was praying, Holy Spirit, tell me something. I didn't have arms like yours. I had to ask the Holy Spirit to help me. I said, tell me something. And it came to me just like that. I said, meekness is not weakness. It's power under control. It's power under control. And I had just read, because I'm not a horse person. I don't ride horses. One tried to bite me when they put me on a pony. And I thought, let the cowboys ride the horses. I'll ride the BSA motorcycle. Amen. My hog. I'd rather ride a hog. Not a real hog, you understand. I'm sorry I have joy. I know it messes up your plan to be blue and gloomy today, but I'm sorry. I just can't get down there with you. I want to stay up here so maybe one Sunday morning I can throw you a rope and pull you out. Can you say amen? And maybe when you get out, you will enjoy it so much you'll want to stay out. And you'll take heed what you hear and what you think. Hallelujah. And what you allow to influence you in your life. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Anyway, end of the service, I was giving out Bibles, signing them, and giving to anyone who wanted a Bible. And the line was long. And we got down to the end of the line. And the man that asked that, and he had steel gray eyes. I'll never forget. They were gray. I thought, I'd hate to meet him in a daylight alley, let alone a dark alley. And he said, Pastor, I'm so glad you came today and talked to us. He said, I'm on my way to Rayford. I came here to have sentence passed in Hillsborough County. I'm on my way to Rayford to do life. But he said, I want you to know something, preacher. He said, for the first time in my life, I am a free man. That's not jailhouse religion. That's a man saying, if I never get out of jail, I'm free because my sins are forgiven. Christ is now my Savior. Glory to God. Out back of the church, guy roars up, and I'm parked by the dumpster near the air conditioners, and I'm there to come and get something from my office by myself. A guy roars up on a big old Harley. He has a big, you know, big bushy beard and his leather jacket. He gets off his Harley and comes walking over and said, Preacher, I need to talk to you. And I said, Lord, help me. You got to help me. You got to help me. Maybe he heard me preach something he don't like, and here he is. It's just me and you and him, but thank God I have you. Hallelujah. Amen. And he come walking over. He said, I know you don't remember me. And I thought, you got that right, old horse. I do not remember you. And he went back to his saddlebag, and he pulled out a Bible. Amen. And he said, I don't know if you remember, but you signed my Bible when you came and preached to us in jail. And he opened it up, and sure enough, Reverend Robert A. Venable in the opening page of his Bible. He said, I just want you to know, I've been reading this Bible. And he said, my life has changed. My life has turned around. And I just wanted to stop today and thank you for coming and preaching and teaching us. And I thought, looky here, looky here. Amen. I'd rather, you talk about something that turns a preacher on if he's concerned about God's kingdom instead of his own, is to see people truly come to Christ and know they're going to have eternity in heaven instead of hell. Hallelujah. Just because of a simple presentation of the gospel of the grace of God, the good news of Jesus. Well, I hope it's encouraged you today to go into this year. Quit clicking on the clickbait. Quit feeding on fear. Hallelujah. Get in the Word of God and let the Word of God get into you. And if you continue in my Word, you're my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Hallelujah. Amen. Did you get a hold of something today? Hallelujah. Will you be cautious about what you hear and how you hear and who you listen to? And I don't mean just me. It just means don't listen to somebody that won't help you get into faith, get out of fear. Will you stand to your feet? Let's have a praise song before we go home.